save here. Greetings to each one this morning in Christ's name. It seems late. We've been having these early services. Created for Him. I'm going to be going through the first part of the book of Ephesians for the next little while here. I think I'm going to do Ephesians 1 and 2, and I think that'll finish me up. As you remember, I started last year in about chapter 3 and went to the end. And now we're going to pick up the very beginning and do that. But I've titled the sermon this morning, Created for Him. And if you will, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. And we want to read in there the first 14 verses. And I'd like for you to turn in that if you would. And then pay special attention to the reading as we go through that. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. And, thanks. I think as we go through this morning, I won't get through 14 verses. I might get through several verses, but that's about it. But even doing that, by no means am I going to try to tell you that we're going to dissect this and to get everything out of this first part of this chapter that's in there. There's so much in that. As I was studying this week and reading, and it's like, as you read and you reread, there's more things that pop up. Like, oh, I never saw that before. I never knew that was in there. I never understood it to say it like that. But to me, again, it's the blessing of God's living word that it is fresh and it's new as we look at it. So again, in Ephesians chapter 1, we want to read the first 14 verses, and next week we'll probably read those first 14 verses again, just to kind of make them stick in our mind. And if you would, those of you that can, please stand while we read this. Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 1, says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you in peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. You may be seated. Father in heaven, thank you again this morning for your word, and I pray that you would speak through the power of your word this morning. God, would you help each one of us to hear what you'd want to say to us through this several verses in Ephesians. For the honor and glory of your name, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning I want to focus on three words. One is predestinated, and the other one I focus on is in Him. And I want to throw a question out to you. Why were you created? Why did God create you and you and you and you and you? There's lots of answers that we could probably give. This morning, I'm going to ask Carter, if he would, to come up here. He pre-consented to this. I asked him if he'd come up if I embarrass him, so he said he would. This is Carter. I don't think there's any question to anyone, and I'm going to embarrass you here a little bit, but as you look at Carter, Carter is a good-looking guy, is he not? I mean, we would all agree to that, right? And that's okay. He comes from a good-looking family, right? Lee and Christy, when they decided to have children, they thought of this name of this young man called Carter. And they decided, you know what? I want to give birth to a child in order that this child can have a good life, and I want this child to be happy. I want this child to be fulfilled in whatever he wants to do. That is my purpose of bringing this child that we're going to call Carter to the earth. Is that a correct statement? No. I would venture to say Lee and Christy, in this sense, were very selfish when they decided to have a little boy and name him Carter. They did not choose to have a young son named Carter in order that he could have a good life. Nor did any one of you, I would venture to say. Because, number one, maybe you didn't even know that it was going to be a young son or that it was going to be a young daughter that was going to be born to you. You were going to accept whatever God chose to give you, male or female. Lee and Christy decided to have Carter. And I don't know, maybe if they had picked out his name before he was born, if it's a boy, he's going to be named Carter, or if after he was born, they looked at him and said, wow, that looks just like a Carter. I don't know how they did all that process. But what I'm saying is Lee and Christy decided when they had this young child that this was somebody who could bring joy into their life. Sounds pretty selfish, doesn't it? You can go sit down. Thanks. But I think as we look at that, every one of us that have children, I don't think we can honestly say that we decided to have children in order so that these children can have a great life or so that they can go out and do thus and thus. Because number one, we did not know who they were before they were born. Well, what I'm trying to get at with that illustration is the fact that God, before the foundations of time, foreordained that each one of us would be born. And He foreordained that He has a plan for each one of us. I don't understand how He did that, but He did. God did not create you, and you can correct me afterwards if I'm wrong in this, but I do not believe that God created you in order so that you could have a good life. You will have a lot of people telling you that today. But as I read and study in God's Word, He created you and He created me in order so that I would bring praise to Him. He did not need you. He did not need me. He wanted us in order to bring greater praise to Him. Is that not the same way that each one of you parents have done when you made the decision to have children? You wanted something that would look like you, hopefully. Or maybe not. But as that little child is born and then grows, you wanted it so that when people look at that young child, say, wow, that looks just like And I don't know of any one of us sitting here this morning that would be offended if someone comes up to you and says that your young son or your young daughter looks just like you. We're like, it's a huge compliment. It could be one of the compliments that rank way at the top of our compliment list. And that even explains a little bit why we do some of the things we do with our offspring, the way we treat our children as opposed to the way we treat everyone else in the rest of the whole world, is because we have huge aspirations. We have noble intent for this young life that we're going to bring into the world. And it doesn't really have to do with the young life. It has to do with us. Me, Dad. And me, Mom. That's why it hurts so bad when you see parents that have children, the children err from the way of truth. When the children do things that are horrendously evil, it cuts worse than anything on this earth. It's an awful, awful pain that parents have to deal with when they have these aspirations for their children and their children don't fill out in their lives the way the parents had these great and noble dreams that they would do. If you will, look in your Bibles again in Ephesians chapter 1, the first 14 verses, and I'm going to read it. I read it very fast the first time, but listen, I think you'll catch on what I'm doing when I read it again. I'm going to start in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will according to the good pleasure which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, in Him. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works in all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. It seems like it's all about God, doesn't it? Where in that passage that I just read do you find anything about God creating us in order that we can have a full life? But it's all about He created us in order that we turn praise back to Him. And as we go through and unpack some of the verses in this passage, I hope we will see that someone looking in that is not a believer can look at that and say, "Oh my goodness, what kind of a selfish, self-centered, egotistic God are you serving?" I can tell you, the God that I serve is a God who is all-knowing. And He cares for each one of us. His design and His plan for us is for His glory. It is for His praise. It is for magnifying and exalting His name. But as we... As we do that, and we'll see that later, I won't even get to that today, but as we take by faith what God has promised us, and if we live our lives according to the way He dictates for us to live our lives, we see something happening in our own life, and that is somebody who's not a believer looks at you and says, you are insane. You are a Looney Tune. But I like being around you. I think you're nuts, but I like being around you. They do not understand what would motivate somebody and how somebody could be happy, how somebody could be fulfilled when in this culture, in this day and age, everyone is telling you, you've got to look out for yourself because if you don't, nobody else will. That's what we're taught. That's what we hear over and over and over. Even from good Christian people. That God created us so that we can be happy, so that we can be fulfilled, so that... I firmly believe, brothers and sisters, that we can be happy, we can be fulfilled, we can be joyous, we can have all these things. But that is not why God created us. The happiness, the joy, the fulfillment that we experience is a byproduct of us devoting our lives, our whole being, our whole eternity to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We don't do it in order to be happy. We don't do it in order to be fulfilled. We do it because this is what God has asked us to do. And as a byproduct, we have a joyful life. We have a fulfilled life. A life that anyone that's outside the fold of believers does not understand. They don't make a lick of sense out of it. It's all about His glory. It's all about praise to Him. And as we do that, that is where we will find the fulfillment, the satisfaction, the peace, the contentment, all these adjectives that you could put in there as we live out our life. But brothers and sisters, that is not easy to do. That is not something that you just wake up tomorrow morning and it's like, I'm going to give myself completely to God and I will not have any selfish motivation and anything for myself anymore. We can say that and we can aspire to that, but in Romans, I think it is, it says that we die daily. We're a living sacrifice. That means we're a sacrifice, but we keep rising up. We have to keep giving ourselves completely, daily, hourly, maybe sometimes by the moment to Jesus Christ to say, no, this is not who I am. I was not created for this. I was created to bring honor to Him no matter what happens to my life, no matter what goes on, no matter what is going on in my life. My purpose is to bring honor, to bring praise to Him. And I probably said this before here, but for each one of us that have had children, don't you just stop sometimes, look at them and say, if they would just do what I tell them, their life would be really nice. Their life would be really pleasant. And mine too, by the way. But our children, for some reason, think They know better, right? I don't know why they think that. Maybe they're looking at mom and dad and watching how they do, and therefore, that's what they're using for their example. Because how many times do I do that with God? I know that this is what God is asking me to do, but I've got a better idea. I just think somehow God must be out golfing or fishing or something, and he had put this to-do list on my table, and he just didn't think about it, that this doesn't really fit me. Huh. God has a perfect plan for your life and for my life. All I have to do is fit into it. All I have to do is just, and well, again, we don't even have to understand why God asks you to do something or why he asks me to do something. All we have to know is that this is what he's asking of you. This is what he's asking of me, and then do it. And the more that we can do that, the more fulfilled our life is going to be. The more things on this earth aren't going to matter, because it's not about me. It's about him. It's about being recognizing that I was created for something much greater than serving my own self. Because how many of you with your children, there are so many rewards, there are so many good things that each one of you as parents would love to do for your children, but you can't because your children, your child, will not allow you to because of their disobedience, because of their misbehavior. And somehow the children get it in their minds that, well, mom and dad, they're just looking for something in order so that they can punish me. Children, I've got some news for you. It's mom and dad are not that way. Mom and dad are looking even for weak excuses to do good for you. In fact, mom and dad even look for ways to overlook some of your wrongs. That's the way parents are. I know. I'm one. I'm a parent. We want the best for our children. But so often our children think that they know better. And to me, that's the closest and the best illustration that I can give to each one of you for what God looks down on us. And there's so many times he wants to bless us. He wants to do these things for us. But it's like, I can't. I mean, they have slammed the door. They have blocked me. What could be done if we would just simply take God at his word when we know this is what the word says and then we go by it? Done deal. But it's not that easy. It's a life that we have to live every day and we have to lay down every day. Wow. Next Sunday we'll carry on with this. I'm going to close because I can't even get started good here. For next Sunday, be thinking. I said I want to talk about the words predestined and in him. But between now and next Sunday, be thinking of all the words that have the letters P-R-E in front of them. And see what you come up with. And again, what I'm wanting to do is take the word predestined and look at it in the context of other words that would have sort of the same, not the same meaning, but we can apply the application maybe to the word predestined. And I'll just help you out a little bit here. One, and there are many, many, many words with the word pre on them. The one would be to pre-admit. When you get ready to go to the hospital, you can be pre-admitted. Does that mean you're in? No. you can be pre-approved for a loan. You can pre-assemble something. You can pre-authorize somebody to do something for you that you're in charge of. When you fly, you can pre-book. When you're building something, you can pre-construct. For the cooks, you can pre-cook. When you're trying to decide something, you can predetermine. When you're building something and you're going to take it out on the job site, you can prefabricate it. Again, when you go into the bank to borrow money for your house, you pre-qualify. And there's many more. So be thinking of that. Shall we stand for closing prayer? Father in heaven, this morning, thank you so much for the power of your word. Thank you so much, Father, for as we look at even a small portion of scripture, that it has so much for us. It comes alive. It has so much meaning and so much depth. God, would you use this message this morning to stir our minds, to help us to see in a greater way what it is that you have created each one of us for. You have made each one of us special. You have designed each one of us. There is no one that is an accident. There is no one that is a mistake. And God, so often I believe you look down and you're like, my child, if you would just do what I tell you. Help us, Lord, to be doers of your word. But first of all, that we would study your word so that we know what it says, and then we could be doers of your word. Would you bless each one of the people that were here this morning as we turn our hearts and think of who you are, and what you have designed us for, and how you want us to live. Would you help us to be able to flesh that out this week in a greater way in each one of our personal lives as we go about our duties? Bless us as we leave from this place for the honor and glory of your name. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Y'all are dismissed.